It is really great to see so many folk out in a midweek. I was just telling Graham I'd have to pay our people to come. Because a lot of our people in our area work in to make caravans. You guys call them caravans. We call them RVs. And so a lot of them will get up at like at 3 and leave the house at 4 in the morning. And so we don't do a lot as far as meetings. But we do a lot in the community. And so I just want to say thank you. Thank you. To have so many here is quite an honor for you to come. But I just don't want you to come and hear something. I want you to come and be a part of hearing, yes, but then saying, I can do it. And be a part of going and doing. We've had all kinds of philosophers in the last so many years, and all kinds of teachings. We've got teaching in the States and teaching in over here, and we got a lot of teachers who want to tell you and hopefully put you in some kind of a spellbinding thing in your life. But if that's all I do is you say walk away and say, "Wow, that was wonderful. It's too bad I could never do it." I failed. What I want to see, and I think what the Lord wants, is when I leave here, you begin to do some things or continue or hopefully go beyond what you've ever done in Christ. And so I'm glad the way Graham started this thing off, because you know what? I don't see myself as all that important. If anything, I remember a lady come up to me and she says something like, "You're the worst pastor I could ever possibly imagine." And I said, "Doesn't that give you hope?" See, I want you to see this, because with each one of us, there's things that we would look at our own selves and say, nobody, you know, you see ourselves not very valuable in the kingdom of God. But I tell you what, the less you are, the weaker you are, I believe the more God can use you. Yeah. And then if you're just a little on the crazy side, amen? See, when I was a sinner, I was a good sinner. I enjoyed sinning. Isn't that terrible? But then when I came to Christ, I enjoyed living for Him. And I don't think I'm kind of a medium road, I will admit. I'm either, so far I've always been over here. And so, what we want you to do is to just be a little crazy, do the things you've always wanted to do, and blame it on God. Now, so far we've led, it was Dave Oliver that came to me. If you know Dave Oliver, he's over here, and he began to measure what I've done. I didn't think about measuring it, but we've led a lot of people to Christ, probably a few thousand right in our community, or I guess I did. And since that, we've seen so many just come to Christ. And I would like to start out, even though we're going to talk about deliverance, I'd like to talk about the greatest passion that Jesus ever had, and that was for lost people. Yeah. He says, "I come." Anybody know the rest of it? "The Son of Man comes to seek and to save that which is lost." Now, I'm sure all of you do that. Did I miss something? I mean, I want you to be a people here that really seek and save that which is lost. And just have you guys would say, have a go at it. I just arrived, let's see, at Heathrow, got into it was like a small minibus, and they had several preachers. And I noticed everyone was talking, we were having a good time talking, and the bus driver was a Muslim. And so, that doesn't bother me. So I started talking with him. We started conversing, and he wanted to tell me right away, "I'm a Muslim." "Well, that's great. That's great." He says, are you going to still talk to me?" I said, "Of course." I said, "We have an inroad. You pray 5 times a day." That's probably 4 more times than most Christians. And so then I said, "Did you ever stop and wait and ask the Lord Jesus to speak to you?" He said, "No, I never have." I said, "I think He'll speak to you." And I just went on to cut this an hour and a half story with him. And right near the end, he said we were about half hour out, so I had to move in for I was going to say to kill. I had to move in to end where I was at. I only know American slang. So, and I just brought him to a place of, he was a, sound like he was a really good father. And I said, who gave you the father's heart? Was your dad a good father? He says, no, my dad was not. I said, you get that from your Father in heaven. I said, you know what? I think you're just on the edge of receiving Jesus. I said, why don't we just cut to the chase? Let me pray for you and you receive Jesus. He said, you know, I think I'd like that. Yeah. So he turned back and said, no, I want you to drive. I'll just do the prayer. I want to see him, but I'm really not that big a hurry to be with him. Now, so we prayed. I want to start off by saying this. God expects some things out of you. Okay? Number one, God expects you to bring people to Jesus. He just expects it. You have to ask him, oh, God, you want me to do this? Let's get it settled. He expects it. Amen? Can we say this? God expects me to bring people to Jesus. That makes it easy. Amen? So that's number one. And you want some scripture? There's John 17:17 in the Message Bible, which says, in the same way that you gave me a mission in this world, I gave them a mission in this world. So that's kind of a commission. You could also look at Acts 20, verse 24. The most important things that I can complete my mission, the work that the Lord Jesus gave me to tell people the good news about God's grace. I mean, we have no problem coming into a meeting and loving one another and encouraging one another. We just didn't need to do it out there. We've got to. And you are the most precious attraction that God has because of who you are and what you carry. You carry the Spirit of the living God. And you just need to let Him out. I say this all around the world. Just let Him out. Because God is in... How many of you have God in you? Okay, about seven. Okay, it's gonna be a big service tonight. Amen. We gotta get you saved, and then we get you filled with the Holy Ghost. We got a long way to go. But see, churches, we've got to get this down. We've got to get it going. I know that's the heart of your pastor. That's the heart of many of you. But it'll take you to begin to reach out. And can I just share this with you? This is the good news. I'm trying to stay close to this. That's good. The greatest thing you cannot... God can use everything you do, even if it's wrong. Is that good news? If you use the wrong scripture. Hey, God laughs. Amen? Let me tell you a story. At one time when I was younger... And we were just so excited about God, and I have to admit, I'm still excited about God. We had a special meeting, and a preacher was there, and I was supposed to kind of walk him, drive him out, and make sure he got on the right country road. And we were going through town, and we stopped at a stoplight, and this lady come running up to his car window, and you know, it was a lady in high heels and a very, very, very short dress. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay, one of you. Okay. Thank you, Rob. I'll just give you $1 later. If you'll just respond to all of them, we'll have fun. Now, so this lady of the night comes out, and I said, what's he doing? And he rolled his window as he talks, and he was supposed to turn, and he went straight forward. And I'll never forget this. And I thought, well, he's going the wrong way. And then when he stopped, I was stuck at the light again, and this lady of the night with this little bitty dress like a handkerchief, she runs over and was talking to him, and I pull up behind, I just get out. And, see, I played American football, and I played offense and defense. I remember as soon as I get out, the preacher says, Glenn, get her! She's a prostitute! So now I'm in gear, everything's in motion, so I start to walk up to her, and she starts to walk away from me. So I walk a little faster. She walks a little faster. So she starts to do a little trot. Now you've got to remember, she's in high heels and a miniskirt. And so I start a little trot. And it was a big parking lot. And so she starts to run faster. Before long, she's in full-blown run. There's something about me. He said, get her. So I'm in a full-blown run, too. And I thought, this girl is outrunning me. So I did what everybody here would do. I jumped. Classic American touchdown. Jumped. It was beautiful. You couldn't ask for a better tackle. I grabbed those little ankles of her, shoved them down toward my body, whoom, landed on top of her, flipped her over, threw my knees upon her shoulder, gave her a card, and invited her to church. She was speaking in tongues to me. She asked me what the age was wrong with me and things like that. And I remember getting up, and she was mad, and what clothes she had on was torn. And I remember going back, and the preacher said, what on earth were you thinking? I said, well, you said, get her. It was just caught up, and I felt so embarrassed. How can I do that? And I thought, man, I really blew it. And about 3 weeks later, we was in church, and one of the deacons came up to me, and he says, Glenn, he says, Peggy, the prostitute's coming up to the door. So I turned and I said, how did you know her name was Peggy? Just the thought. So I walked up there, and Peggy's there, and she's all dressed, you know, back when we used to, you know, dress for the kingdom. And there she was, and a big white hat on, and gloves, and man, she looked beautiful. She really did. She's a beautiful woman. And she again, she said, you don't think I'd ever be here? And I said, no, I really did. And I said, I really do want to apologize. She says, no. She says, I never had any pastor want me in their church that bad. So I preached the gospel message, and Peggy came down and gave her heart to Christ.
Amen.
God can use everything. Amen? As long as you're doing something for His honor and His glory, He'll just use it all. He'll use it all. Can you say God can use it all?
God can use it all.
I can tell you my hall of shame is a lot larger than my hall of fame. And I just want to encourage you to just have a go at it. Yeah. And just use the spirit that's in you, the heart that's in you, and you'll just do fine. You'll see people come to the Lord. You'll see healings in Jesus' name. It's because anything has to do more with the Spirit of God than it does with anything else. Work at bringing others to Christ. That's actually 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, another scripture. And so, very quickly, I want to get another thing here. I'm just skimming here. The other thing is, God expects you and me to go to people for Jesus. Two things. Remember, we're supposed to bring people to Him. The next thing is, God expects me, can you say me?
Me.
That's kind of like y'all. To go to people for Jesus. Amen?
Yeah.
And so when you see somebody, it's God opening up your eyes and saying, go get them.
Yeah.
It's God. You can be on a bus full of people and you might zoom in on somebody. And that's God. And He's saying, go on. Then some of us say, oh, more power. I've done gave you all the power.
Yeah.
There's scripture like that. I mean, there really is. Amen?
Amen.
You act like I'm lying to you. It's in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, I've given you... Maybe you better tune to it. Some of you don't believe me. I get a problem with... Yeah, I've been in places where they go like this and say, have you ever seen them? They go, more power. And I'm thinking, I should smack you or something because you don't need Listen, you don't need more power. Here's what it says in verse 3. It's on page 1675. It says this in the Holy Bible. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Amen?
Yes.
He says, I've loaded you up. I've given you it all. So you've already got it. Can you say, I got it?
I got it.
Now I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, I really got it. See, the problem is, you don't need more power. Because Christ is in you. The hope of
glory.
Come on. You got it. You got the scriptures. All you have to do is let Him out. Let Him out of you. Talk to Him. Let Him out. Well, we're kind of quiet. So, get over it. Hello? Has anybody here ever offended anybody?
Yes.
About half of you. I think the rest of you is lying. I mean, I've had people come up and say, you offended me. I said, well, I have to stand in line. Stand in line. Because I hate to shock you, many of you have offended people by accident.
Yes.
And I don't actually try to offend too many people.
Amen.
But it just happened. Jesus, they thought Jesus was crazy. Yeah. I think it's a high honor when people say, I think he's crazy. Oh, thank you. I get that from Jesus. Amen? Because he was a man that they said lost his mind, lost his senses. Amen? And the older I get, I mean, my kids start to say that. So I wanted to get there tonight. It's something else that came to me at the prayer meeting, and I want to say this again. It just bears repeating, because now then we're going to get in to deliverance, and which is actually tied to healing. If you allow me to do that, in your Bibles, you can use your phones. You can use some of you can just sit there, but in your Bibles in Romans chapter 8. I want to get this out once more. Because this is... See, I wasn't raised a Christian. I wasn't raised a Protestant. I actually was raised a Roman Catholic. And, well, God bless you. And I was an altar boy, and I had the great joy of pouring the wine for the priest. And I became a taster of the wine. Usually I drank most of the wine. And would go out and sin after church and whatnot. But I never heard the gospel until I... Listen to this. Here's how God does things. I was a heathen. And I was running after a little Mennonite girl. It had nothing to do with spirit. It had everything to do with lust. Hello? Is that too much for you? I could back up, but I probably won't. Then... So I was running after this Mennonite girl, and she was singing in a quartet in a Baptist church. So there I was. There I was, a heathen, running after a Mennonite girl in a Baptist church. And I never seen anybody preach who came out with a handkerchief in his hand. And I thought, well, the guy's got a cold. But then he started to preach. And for the first time in my life, I heard a gospel message. If you really want to get saved, come. And I didn't know you're supposed to wait till the end. See, I was a heathen. I didn't know. I remember standing up. He says, not now. Sit down. See, the church has been rejecting me for years. So he got done what he had to say. He said, you can come now. And before I went, I got to add this in. This doesn't mean anything. But my dad, he said, now watch out, Glenn. If you go to one of the Protestant churches, watch out that the deacons... Because sometimes you want to take you in the basement and do weird things to you. And so I come down to the altar call, and you won't believe this. The pastor says, one of you deacons take him down. I said, I just knock you clean out. Anyway. But here in Romans chapter 8 and in verse 18, For I consider that the suffering from this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is revealed in us. Can you say in me?
Amen.
See, right here it says us. Would you just take a pen and put your name? It's your Bible. You can do what you want. I have Glenn in there. You can put Glenn in there. That'll be just fine. For the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing or the manifestations of the sons of God. See, God really wants you to manifest because you are a son of God. Somewhere you're going to have to grab a hold of this and say, I'm a son of God. And in you is the miracles. In you is the Spirit of the living God that wants to come out on people. So it's not actually you. It's the Spirit within you that God wants to touch. God wants to come out of you in a powerful way. Can you say, I'm a son of God?
I'm a son of God.
And so he just says, come on. Come on.
Come on.
My whole issue is just for you to really demonstrate what's in you. I was with this prayer group and I said, look at the love that's here. Look at the passion. We need this outside. We got to have it outside of Bible studies. We got to have it outside of the church.
Yeah.
So people are touched with Jesus that's in you.
Yeah.
Because it's out there that miracles happen. Out there. Amen. You got it? The manifestations of you. It's not enough just to go to church. It's to demonstrate Jesus to a lost and dying world. It's so important. Okay. You got it? So we're going to start off, you sons of God. So I'm not asking you to do anything that you are already not equipped to do. You're already equipped to do it, but will you do it? You know what?
Yeah.
It's up to you. Some people say, oh, I wonder why it's not happening in me. We know why. You have to go for it. You got to stop thinking about yourself. What do people think? What do people think? What's God going to think? When He gives you gifts and abilities, when He empowers you. You remember the story about in Luke chapter 9, verse 1, He said there was the 12 and He sent them out. Preach the gospel, heal the sick, and cast out devils. Amen?
Yeah. Yeah.
We do that all the time, right?
Some of the time.
Some of the time, okay. But see, then I want you to see the progression. He said, well, I think 12 of them got it. And so in Luke chapter 10, verse 1, he says, then he took the 70. Now he's stretching way out. Amen? Yeah. Took 70, commissioned them, go do, just like we kind of have Matthew chapter 28, go. Therefore, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Okay? He sends them out. He says, I want you to do some things. I want you to heal the sick, cast out devils, and preach the gospel. Amen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Simple. Just three things.
Yeah.
You can do that. Amen? Can you say three?
Three.
And you get confused. You know, you can cast out devils, heal the sick, or preach the gospel. Or you can preach the gospel, heal the sick, and cast out devils. Or you can heal the sick, cast out devils, and preach the gospel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you just give them the whole shot at once. Amen? But the issue is, we live in a world that's sick. We need. I want to start off talking about, I hate to use the word deliverance, so we'll call it strongholds. Can we do that? But Jesus, I want you to cast out devils. He's a little more bolder than we would be. So we'll call them strongholds. And if I get caught up, I'll call them demons also. But I want you to see that there's some Jesus. So I'm going to make a perimeter. I'm not worried about what's up there. I'm not worried about all the other things. Because, see, I'm just a simple-minded person. I'm going to stay within the realm of the Word of God. Jesus, I don't see He dealt with a whole lot outside of what was in people. Can you say what's in people?
What's in people?
And so I'm not saying anybody else is wrong. There's a lot of books. You can buy them. Glory to God. Somebody's getting rich. But I just want some of that's beyond me. I had a preacher come bury a Bible in our church backyard, and I said, Well, next time, where's it at? He said, well, I'm going to dig it up and give it to somebody. He said, well, I need that. See, something about something. And I thought, man, what are you smoking? It's an expression. Because we get so weird. You know, we get weird? I mean, I don't want to be spooky. I want someone to say, oh, hey, that's a nice guy. Because he'll listen to me, you see. So we're going to say Jesus only dealt with demons that indwelt a person. Okay? We are called to set the captives
free.
There's some place where it talks to Isaiah 61, a few other places. And then you have Luke 9, we have Luke 10. We got all over the place where we're doing. So we got that settled. We are called to do it, right?
Yeah.
Now it's an everybody call.
Yeah.
So we got to set. Demon spirits can invade and indwell human bodies. Okay. How can we prove that? Just walk through your neighborhood. Also through the Word. Now, and so we have that going. Let's see. That person has dwelt in a greater advantage in controlling that person than when they were working from the outside. So sometimes demons oppress, and then they come inside of a person. All right? When demons indwell a person, that person is said to have an evil spirit, have a stronghold. We're trying to make it so wonderful. Amen? Have a problem, or if it's real bad, they call it being possessed with demons. Okay, we're not going to deal with too much of that. The Greek word that Jesus uses is demonziai, which is an accurate word for demonized or to have demons. Okay, now demonized to have. Or to have one or many demons would try to control that person in areas of their life. So if a person has a stronghold, a demon, a devil, or a whole pack of them, here's how it's going to affect you, your spiritual growth. Some people read the Bible and pray, and they just can't seem to grow. I could have you raise your hands, but we'd get a little low. Number two, it affects your prayer life. You won't be able to pray like you should. Number three, you won't have victory over an area of your life that you want to really have victory over. See, some people like we're alcoholics. I don't believe it's... You have to forgive me. I'm just a little fat. I don't think it's a disease. I mean, you have to forgive me. You can believe it's a disease. I mean, all you have to do is stop drinking and... how do you get the disease? Oh, I took a drink. Anyway, but the issue is, I think the Bible's clear. If you're a drunkard, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. We want them to go to heaven. And so, how do we do this thing? We have to see that there's a problem. Demon possession are rare. I want to say that. Anyway, possession is when they totally take over your body. And you have no control. So that's rare. Can you say it's rare?
Yes.
So let's not worry. Let's not worry too much about possession. I can honestly say no one's possessed right here in this room. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
Place is full of demons, but no possession. Okay, just a little thought. Did you hear me say what I said? Okay, good. I didn't want to shock you in case it pops up later. The question is there demons in this room? Absolutely. Amen? This is great. Amen? Because we have room to practice. All right. Just a thought. Now, so what else happens? A change in personality, including intelligence, moral character, demeanor, and appearance. That's how you can begin to tell things are going. Talk about physical change. We had a supernatural strength. Epileptic convulsions and foaming, catatonic symptoms like falling down, clouding of consciousness, have no feeling of pain, and change in voice. Hello, I'm not talking about taking steroids, I'm talking about another voice. Mental changes. So just to kind of help you with some of the stuff that goes on. Let's see. You have an understanding of a foreign... You can speak a foreign language that you've never learned. I'm outside of your heavenly language. Counterfeit gift of tongues is what that is. Supernatural knowledge. psychotic, occult powers, psychic power, clairvoyance, telepathy, predictions, spiritual changes, a reaction to, and the fear of Christ. It's amazing. I've been in a lot of churches, and sometimes every time I would name Jesus, people, you can see a little pop in their head. Oh, gee, hello. So what I'll do is while I'm preaching, I'll say, I wonder, I'll just have to check this out again. How many of you would ever do that? So you do it again. Say, oh, there we got a hot one. Come on. Hope this one comes down. We'll just, anyway. A reaction to and a fear of Christ, blasphemy with regret, as in depression. Of course, I said affects prayer. The problem is, while the need of exorcism, that's a fancy word, is rare, the need for deliverance is very common, around 80%. Did you miss the number? Okay. Many people you pass on the street need some kind of deliverance. So the need for you is extremely large. Amen? Turn to the person next to you and say, we need you. We've got to get this down. The Church of Jesus has got to come out of the closet. Everybody else is. You doing okay? Good. That makes one of us. Now, so there's. Can you say there's power in the name of Jesus?
There's power in the name of Jesus.
You know, we sing the song, but I want you just to grab over. You read the Gospels. There's great power in Jesus. And wherever I go, there's power in the name of Jesus. Wherever I go. Let me tell you a story. There was once a guy named Rich Rowe, and he came to our church. And, you know, when you're starting out, you just take anybody. Amen? Well, you always take anybody, but, you know what I'm saying? Amen? You don't go through classes. Now you got to go through classes. I mean, in our church, you could have Tourette's and be in the nursery. Like we had this one lady, her name is Catherine, and we needed nursery workers. We needed somebody to watch these kids. Nobody wanted to watch their own kids. And so I have a heart to see people in the church and see them part of the church. And so we tried different areas with this lady, Catherine. But I told you she had Tourette's, and she would just have a small habit. She'd use the F word. Kind of like that, and so I thought about using her as a greeter, and the elders thought no. So I tell you what, I have a heart for. I love people. I love fat ones and skinny ones. I love ugly ones, just all kinds. And I wanted to see her be a part of the kingdom of God, be a family of God. You know, we sing that song, I'm so glad I'm a part of the... Okay, family of God, forget it. Anyway, so I thought, we tried and we talked, and I said, hey, nobody wants to work in the nursery. Let's put Kathy in the nursery. I mean, she just has the little, they call them a tick or a Tourette's is what we call it, you know. And so she doesn't mean to use the F word very much. It's like a lot of Christians I've ever met, you know. They'll slip and, you know, they use the F word. You've heard of them before. You don't know? Yes? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Anyway, it didn't really bother me. I just appreciated her. And so I can remember we had a big crowd and everything was going good. We had the, you know, numbers on the visitors, kids, just, and had the big thing on front of our church that calls the numbers. And so got done with the service, and people had got saved, and they went to pick up their kids. And Kathy just got so excited. And this new couple who didn't know Kathy went to pick up their child. And so she says, well, I really appreciate your fucking kids. So, see, my heart just really went out for her. You know? What would you do with her? And so we did what you had to do. I just said, you know, I just need to do a deliverance on her. So we prayed for Kathy. She's totally delivered. Works in the nursery. And says, we just love your kids. Amen? I do kind of miss someone just stirring up things. You know, hello, fuck, are you? Okay, never mind. Hello? Do you love people?
Yeah.
Do you like weird ones?
Yeah.
Come on. That's why we're here.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Let me tell you, Rich Rowe was an epileptic and now in the service. You could tell when the anointing was going on because he would just fall out. I mean, he wouldn't just like a Toronto fallout. He would just... And all these mercy people then would come around, and finally I just got fed up with it. I get emotional sometimes, and I got sick of all this, and so I started to come off, and all these mercy people got. I said, "Come on, get out of here!" I just grabbed a hold of him and said, "In the name of Jesus, come out of him." He slumps down a little farther, and I just said, "Leave him there, just leave him there." So we went on with the service. Amen. People kept looking around. He got up. Rich never had another seizure. He also had Tourette's. Never had Tourette's again. Rich is working and driving. I don't know if that's a good news or not, but he's totally well. Amen? That's what the kingdom's about. Can you say that's the kingdom? That's what you can do. You've been geared for it. To do this thing. So there's power in the name of Jesus. The reality of the power is when you do it. Is there anybody here like me and that I don't want someone to show me how to do something? I want to do it. Is there anyone like me?
Yes.
And then when I do it all the way. I'm just trying to think of it. I'd get poor examples. Please don't be offended. I am a hunter. I do some hunting. And I remember the first time we went out, and my dad said, you know, take a shot, pull it. But I knew I had 5 shots in this gun. Can you say 5?
5.
Now, I wasn't interested in just firing 1 shell. How many did I really want to shoot?
5.
Are you the same way, amen?
Yeah.
Or how about a shift car? Back when we had real, you know, horsepower. We used to put a $20 bill on the dashboard, put somebody in the back, and if you could reach the 20 before I got to 4th gear, you could have it. Come on. That's just how I would be. Amen? We used to drag down our main street till the police frown on it. But when you're shooting like that, or when you're doing something, and you want all of it, that's why this Christian life is so powerful. Okay, got it. The possibility of demonization in Christians. I want to tackle that right away. Yes, it's possible. Very controversial, and I hope I get that far. And then we're going to have a little time of prayer. But it's urgent in nature. The possibility rejected by Christians. Of a demonized of believers. I don't know how they can do it because we have so many people that have strongholds in their life that seem to be held back and can't go forward. And I want you to know this. One of the most urgent areas requiring hands of ministry with severely demonized believers. Most Christians reject the possibility that a true believer can be demonized. So I'm gonna hopefully get to that tonight. I hope you appreciate it as we work through this. All believers can be filled with, help me out, rage. Have you ever seen an angry Christian?
Yes.
If you haven't, you haven't been in an elders meeting. All right. Then you got rage. You got lust. How many of you know that Christians can have lust?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. 3, 4. And a half. Okay. Envy? Any Christians have envy? Thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Say 5. We're on a 5. A jealousy. 2. All right. Lying. We just had a bunch of them. Cheating. Christians wouldn't cheat, would they? Unless they had to. Okay. Stealing. Some of you are just frozen now. How about being unkind? Can Christians be unkind?
Yes.
But those things are okay, right?
No.
All right. we accept the reality and minister in a world of Christian failure. We have to see that. All Christians know that believers can be filled with rage and all these other things we just mentioned. They can lie, steal, be unkind to others, and even abuse their children. They can even abuse their children. And we accept the reality and minister within the real world of the Christian failure. Always directing our sometimes battered and sinful brothers toward the ideal which is their birthright in Christ. See, the ideal is you don't have to sin. Amen?
Amen.
That Christ says you no longer have to be bound to a world of sin. Yet demons appear in the believer's life and God help them. If a believer would say, I think I'm demonized, you'd say, what? They receive no sympathy from fellow believers who often won't stop manhandling them until they've been gone so far as to accuse battered believers of wanting to be possessed by demons so they can continue in their sinful life. What a strange way to minister to fellow Christians. It is strange, isn't it? Hello?
Yeah.
Mild to severe. True believers can be demonized. Such demonization can range from mild to severe. I want you to know that. So some are very mild. I'm going to say this right now. The thought of a deliverance means you're going to shake and convulse and vomit and spit. Those are on the severe side and rarely, rarely happen. That's good news. Amen?
Yes.
Now, and so, now that's a difference from possession. Satan cannot possess anything other than his own kingdom of fallen spirits. So if you're saved, you cannot be possessed. That's more good news. Amen? Isn't that good news?
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about floating and all those kinds of things if you're saved, unless it's an outer body with God. Now, I believe that true believers can be demonized. Such demonizations can range, like I said, from mild to severe. I'm not affirming that true believers can be possessed. They cannot be. Satan does not truly possess anything that it's not his own. I am affirming under a rare and unusual condition of sin, either the sin of individual or others against them, some believers become demonized. Maybe there's all kinds of ways that people... I knew a man who was in his late 50s that all if you talk to him, just say, hey, could you redo this? Or he'd say, well, I guess I'm a failure. In his mind, he would say he's a failure. And he'd become abrupt and irritated. Just bringing a little... How many of you have met people like that? How many of you have met Christians like that? You can't hardly correct them on anything, and they get over the top. Somebody has affected them. Well, I was talking to this guy, and he come to find out, I was sitting with him, and said, why don't we just ask the Lord? So I said, Lord, when did he fail? So that's why I had him ask the Lord. So he asked the Lord. Quickly, boom, first grade. So what happened? He says, I failed. I said, you failed first grade? Is that all? Yeah, I'm a failure. I failed. And just that little thing affected his whole life. And that allowed him to be demonized. That allowed him to be demonized. Or just worked and worked on him. Hello? Now, so I use those examples to say how easy it might sound simple, but to you know when you're in the first grade and all your friends are getting moved up to second grade and you got to stay back, it can be traumatic, especially if the kids that go to the second grade will kind of make fun of the kid that's still back in the first grade by calling names like dummy. Hello? Now, maybe your kids wouldn't do that, but sometimes it happens. Now, let's see if I want to... I might skip that. I'm going to skip that. Go on down. Those who reject the possible demonization of Christians affirm that the Holy Spirit cannot dwell in the same place. I want you to get this. They affirm that the Holy Spirit cannot dwell in the same place with demons. Listen, there's not one single verse that tells us that the Holy Spirit cannot and will not dwell in the human body or in any other area where demons are present. Now, this is a major premise. Every Christian is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay, so if you're... I'm not going to trick you unless I have to. Now, minor premise. The Holy Spirit cannot... the Holy Spirit cannot dwell with demons. Conclusion is, Christians cannot be demonized. Okay? This systematic and very logical premise is the way most Christians would think. Now... So now we have a logical an argument that takes place, and I'm going to skip here a little bit. We could turn to Romans, Galatians, or 2 Corinthians, but I'm not going to. I've got time. So we got four primary areas of sin. So in this areas of sin, here what they are. Number one, illicit sexual practices or fantasy out of control. Now, nobody here would have that, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because that'd be a waste of time. Number two, deep-seated anger, bitterness, hatred, rage, rebellion. I just got an email in. And often leading to distraction or self-destructive impulses. Number three, a sense of rejection, guilt, poor self-esteem. By the way, poor self-esteem is huge. Because it meaning you're rejecting the very image of God. Just a thought. Because you were made in the image of
God.
And if you were made in God's image, you're pretty good. Amen?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Why don't you just say, I look good?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, you didn't really mean that. But anyway. Strange attraction to the occult. So I want to get there. Now, can we talk about a case study? I just want to give you everything I want. What's he talking about? Okay, case study. How many of you know that Saul was anointed by God? Anybody here?
Yeah.
Saul, King Saul?
King Saul.
King Saul was anointed by God? And did you know he prophesied?
Yes.
Okay, so we got he was prophesied, had the Holy Ghost on him, and yet he had a small problem. he wanted to kill David. It said that an evil spirit came in him. Holy Kamunga. Well, how'd that happen? Well, I'm not sure how it happened, but I know it happened. That's what I'm trying to get. Here's the anointed king of Israel that got demonized. Doesn't this give you hope?
Yeah.
Number two case study. The rebellious nation of Israel. It is possible most of the adult Jews who had given themselves to idol worship were demonized when God sent them into captivity. The prophets described in shocking detail their total surrender to the spirit world. That's in Hosea chapter 4. This entire nation gave themselves to occult practices. And that's Hosea chapter 4 verses 1 to 10. And then it says the people became demonized at Baal worship that they had joined. Okay? I'm skipping a lot of scripture. Case number three. New Testament. Amen? Because I know there's somebody going to say, well, that was the Old Testament, so this is for you. Amen? Turn to the person next to you and say, this is for you. Yeah. Yeah. See, look at you. You really enjoyed that, didn't you? Mark chapter 1, verse 21. Jesus goes into a synagogue and he's talking to the people in the synagogue, talking to those who believed in Yahweh. Suddenly, a demon breaks out. There's an account of the Jew regular tender who was severely demonized. So Jesus did what he always did and said, shut up. Come out of him. I always like that. Amen? I've done it a couple times. Tell him to shut up. All right, now, number four. How about the demonized daughter of Abram? That's found in Luke 13, 10 to 17. Now, I'm not going to read these, but she was a true Jewish believer. Her sickness was caused by an evil spirit. That's in verse 11. From whom Jesus set her free. Wow. I mean, if we just stop and look what Scripture has to say. There's another place in Galatians that says, who bewitched you? That's an interesting thought. Case five. I love this one. This is what we need to do at church. Graham, practice this, okay? There was a couple named Ananias and Sapphira. Churchgoers. They only did one thing. They stole from the church. Amen? They held back some money. Come on, holdbackers. Die! I didn't write it. It was in the Bible. It says that the devil came in him. These weren't non-believers. These were believers. They were giving to the church. Now nobody here, I know, would hold back their tithes or offering. No, nobody here would do that. Would you? It's got full quiet. I think I heard the light bulbs humming. I know in our fellowship, we did, a while back, we took a check and about 50 to 80% never gave nothing. Hello? So it's just, and I'm thinking, oh God, give us a revival. Boom. All it takes is just one fall over. Ushers, come forward. Anyway. But I want you to begin to see this in a powerful, powerful way. I really mean, when we think, oh, that didn't happen, it's in your Bible. It's in your Bible. Yeah, you're looking at me like I'm... Turn to Acts. Now you got me all messed up. Acts. I wasn't even going to turn to this. Now there was a certain man named Ananias, verse 1, and his wife was named Sapphira. They sold a piece of property and kept back some, it's on page 1566, found some of the price for themselves with his wife's full knowledge. Wives, just because you don't, you know, if you know something, you could be gone too. And bringing a portion of what they were supposed to bring. How many of you knew that? It's naughty not to bring it all. Okay, it's really a good time to keep your hand down. And said, he laid it at the apostles' feet, but Peter said, Ananias. Now we're talking about a Christian. Can you say a Christian? And he was involved as a church. He was giving money to the church, but just didn't give what he was supposed to. Thought he was going to trick the preacher. And he says, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? And to keep some back of the price of the land. Well, it remained unsold. It was still your own. And after it was sold, it was not under your control. Why is it that you conceived the deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but you've lied to God. See, sometimes, you know what we do in church? We think we're just messing with Graham or the elders. But they represent, listen, please hear me. They represent the kingdom of heaven. They represent God. Just like you represent God. Amen? The elders didn't have me, they didn't have me read this to pick up tithes and offerings. But it says, you've not lied to men, you lied to God. And then he goes on, and as you've heard these words, Ananias fell down, breathed his last, and great fear came upon them all. And the young man arose, covered him up, and carried him out, and they buried him. Can you imagine that? This is quick. I love efficiency. Amen? You know, out the back, Jack, make a new plan, stand. Now, and it says there was a lapse of an interval of about 3 hours, and his wife came in, not knowing what had happened, and Peter responded to her, tell me whether you sold the land for such and such a price. And she said, yes. Oh, we have an old saying in America, liar, liar, pants on fire. It says... this was the same price. All they did was lie. What's the big deal? It was sin. But even more important, it was something of the demonic realm because they lied to the Holy Spirit. And he said, Peter said to her, why did you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who buried your husband are out the door and they're going to carry you out. Boom! And immediately she fell over dead. She breathed her last. This is serious stuff. Now, so that's a little case study. I thought you'd appreciate that. Amen? Yeah. You can read that for your kids tonight for a nighttime story. How God killed Christians in church. Now, but see, I want you to see the thing that's interesting about this whole thing, and you all know the story, that somehow through this, they were demonized. Did you hear that? Satan came in. And so I have a real heart for people who are demonized, that have strongholds in their life. God can use Satan's touch against sinning believers to humble them. In some cases, God even allows Satan to take the life of a godly, obedient, faithful believer. Now, you see this in Samaria's, and I think I'll touch on it. You can see that. Now, here's what I want you to say. Here's what the Bible says. Give no place for the devil. Have you ever read that? Give no place for the devil. But what happens is, we live in a world, and sometimes we give a place, don't we? Come on, let's be honest. We give a place. It's not that we plan to. See, I think I'll get demonized tonight. Nobody plans any of that. That we just kind of, we step away slowly. Slowly. We watch something we shouldn't. We're involved some. And then all of a sudden we find ourselves demonized. And it's not that we're bad. Good people get demonized. It's not like it is on the movie that, you know, the person distorts their face and they're weird and they scratch people. They're good people. I've seen so many good people, loving, kind people that just get trapped. They're trapped. Now, I want to give you a picture of demonization. It's more like a chain that you can go so far and no further. And see, when God came in, I come to set the captives free, He breaks the chain so you can go further in God.
Yeah, that's good.
So sometimes when people say, "Oh God, give me more power," it's sometimes they're chained. They can come in and break the chain. And boom, they become a person who can give all of their lives to Christ in a powerful way. I'm going to read this. There are six sin areas of possible demonization. Generational sin. Child abuse is huge. Can I tell you how big this thing is? We have people. Listen, my heart broke one day. I started to leave the office, and here this young lady drove up in a car. And she said, "Are you Pastor Glenn?" I said, "Yeah, I am." She says, "I'm from Florida. I live in Michigan. And that's about 18 to 20 hour drive." But she had gone in and took a, she got a jet ride to Detroit, rented a car to drive to this little bitty town because she heard that we do deliverances. And so you know what she said? She says, "Let me go shut off my car." I says, "Hold it. It won't take that long." Because I just seen, because her praying, buying a ticket, renting a car, pulling and pushing the demons that kept her bound, I just walked up to her, talked with her a little bit, was out in the parking lot, and I just said, "Come out." And she blinked a little bit, she says, "I'm free." I says, "Go on, get out of here." And she left. Her name is Jennifer. And Jennifer has, about 6 months later, she sent me this wonderful postcard. "Thank you. I'm still free. Could I bring some others?" And that broke my heart because I'm thinking, how many churches do not do deliverances anymore? See, I'm equipping you to go do them. That's kind of what I'm doing. Amen? And so hopefully you'll begin to do them. What's the worst thing that can happen? They stay demonized. And we got to remain. They'll leave the way that you've always known them. But what's the best thing that can happen? Come on. And to be a part of a supernatural God moving through you. Come on, you can't beat that. It's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. It's the same Spirit that does the deliverances. Can you see that? So if we start this, what I'm trying to get you to do is to walk in the super... Because you're naturally
supernatural.
That's who you are.
Yeah.
You're naturally. See, we don't get this thing. The Bible says you were born again from on high. So now you're a supernatural being. You're born again. Now your Father in heaven, which is supernatural, has given you a pledge, a promise. It's like an engagement ring. What's the engagement ring? That you would be filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 1:8 says that you're endued with power from on high. Come on, say, somebody give me an amen. Just act like you're Pentecostal. Just put this on. Because that's who you are. Then we come along in church and somebody's always trying to throw dirt on your face. Saying you can't do this. Or then maybe you try something and it don't happen. So? I try a lot of things that don't happen. Amen? Or I do something wrong. Get caught speeding 90 and 55. You know, just a simple little ticket. But the issue is, did that stop me from driving? Absolutely not. So I get back in. Amen?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad people like me are out there?
Yes.
If you don't like how I drive, stay off the sidewalk. Now, I want you to begin to see that, we've been almost lied to. Now we live in a time where you need to come and get a blessing. I'm here to tell you, you are the blessing.
Yes.
You are the blessed of God.
Yeah.
That's who you are.
Yes.
You don't have to get it.
No.
You got it.
Yes.
Amen?
Yeah.
That's what the Word says. Really, I'm tired of people having to go somewhere. Amen?
Yes.
He's already with you. He's already in you. Let Him out. Let Him out. Let Him out of you.
Yeah.
And the power of the Holy Spirit. See, it's the same thing when you lead someone to Jesus. A supernatural thing. Nicodemus says, what do I need to do? Jesus says, born again. Now, we understand that. But I don't think we understand that it's supernatural. Did you change when you get born again? Did your face change?
Yeah.
Did your birth certificate change?
No.
Did your ID change at all?
No.
It was something internal.
Yeah.
Something supernatural. Now your ability to be like God. I read today in 1 John chapter 4, it says, as Jesus is, because He is, how many of you know He is?
Yes.
He is.
How many of you know He's still alive?
Yeah.
So He is.
Yeah.
As Jesus is, so you are. What that? Do I have to explain this? I better. Some of them don't get it yet. I'm still working on that. I'm massaging something into you. Because some of them say, well, listen here. The Bible says if you ask, you shall knock, and the door shall be. Is this new?
No.
See, so I want you to begin to start at God, give me souls, give me eyes to see, ears to hear.
Yeah.
Now you begin to just release this great God that's to do. See, I call it the three. I'm talking about demons, but you can see. Quickly, you got to see who you are. This don't going to work. I don't care if you're introvert. Can somebody look in their back of their Bible in their dictionary for introvert? How about extrovert? Extrovert. Peter was an extrovert. You can only do what Peter did if you were an extrovert. That's what we believe. Because somebody who isn't even of Christ, tells you, extrovert, introvert. I'm sure there's slantings that way. But greater is He Come on. But greater is He. You're an introvert, but greater is He. I'm shy, but greater is He. Come on.
Yeah.
So tomorrow, if you're on the bus, Gus, make a new plan. And I really want you to begin to see that this great God is in you, and this lost and dying world, they won't read the books. Oh, you got Christian radio, great. Christians listen to it. I can still remember when I was lost and dying in the world, I would go bang, and you know, that's when we used to have a Turner on them.
Yeah.
And when I hit Christian station, I was going somewhere else. Preaching on radio, great for Christians.
Yeah.
Very few people like me headed to the bar. Listen to it. But it's from the encounter with God. That greater is He that is in me. I like the me. Amen? And when you see me, just write your name in there. I do us, me, it's all Glenn. My Bible's full of Glenn. Why? Because I need to know this ain't about somebody else. This is about me. This is about Glenn. Go Glenn to all the world. You can put that in your Bible. I mean, it's fine with me. But I want in your Bible to personalize this thing. Let God out.
Yeah.
Let Him out on you kids.
Yeah.
My little girl was 10 years old when I first took her out casting out devils, just like you. Why? Because I wanted to train my kids. All my kids can cast out devils. Here's a good one. I got a call. Little Dawn Marie is my last one. And she's about 8 years old. She might have been 9. And I got a call from the school. And I was at church office. And so secretary says, I got a call from the school. You better take it. But okay, I was in a meeting. And so I got a hold of this phone. And I said, yes, this is Pastor Glenn. And you have to come to the school right now, this lady told me. I thought, well, what's going on? You have to come right now. Something your daughter did. I said, well, hold it here. I'm going to be all concerned here driving across town. And I've got a few tickets driving across town in a hurry. And so she said, your daughter grabbed a hold of a young girl, began to yell, come out in Jesus' dripping blood. It got quiet. I said, well, did it come out? She says, I can't believe it. She hung up. I guess she didn't want me to come no more. So I went about my business. What was I going to do? You know, I did tell my daughter, just wait till you go over to the person's house, I guess, honey. She said, but Dad, I could tell she had a devil. I'm not going to get on my kids for that. Maybe you would. I wouldn't. I want my kids to have a go at it. Practice on their friends and neighbors. Is this too much for you? Some of you looking like you're all of a sudden not happy about the whole thing. See, we got to start raising our kids up in the ways of the Lord. Jesus went about casting out devils everywhere. All of a sudden, different ones would all of a sudden do things. Healing's the same thing. Listen. When you don't heal nobody. We had this healing line, and the people had me to come in and pray for sick and cast out devils. And I had this one person, and they didn't get healed. Sometimes when things don't happen right, it blows me away sometimes. And I just told the Lord, I said, why couldn't I do it? And the Lord said, you ain't never done any of this, Glenn. And I thought, oh, I kind of forgot. I never saved nobody. Jesus saved them. It was through His blood. Jesus, I just took them to Jesus, and Jesus put them in. My job is to take him to him. Andrew went and got his brother, brought him to Jesus, and after he met Jesus, he got saved. So in the same way with deliverance, we actually speak in the name of
Jesus.
When you heal somebody or lay your hands on them and say, in Jesus' name, that's not your name. That's Jesus coming through you. And I think the more we practice this thing, I think the easier it is for him to come through. You got it?
Yeah.
So you're naturally...
Supernatural.
Come on. See, it's your right.
Yeah.
It's your birthright.
Yeah.
Don't you think it's time to walk in your birthright?
Yeah.
Being naturally
supernatural.
You got all these witches and Wiccans, and we got them in the States now. Got to tell you a story. I was leading a bunch of people to Christ in this one neighborhood, and I thought, I'm going to take this whole neighborhood. I wanted everybody. And some of the folks stopped coming to church, and so I went to visit them. They said, well, this is a lady named Rosie the Witch, because she's a witch. And her name was
Rosie.
Okay, there you go. And you know what happened? I got so mad. One evening I went over there, and I was mad. And I said, Rosie, come on out. We're going to get this done. And poor folk that I have in our neighborhood, they don't have internet and all that kind of stuff. They just sit on the porch and do something and talk to one another. But I just yelled at her and I said, come on out. So she said, what do you want? I said, we're going to settle this. Who's the king bull of the woods right now? We're just going to get it done. I said, you come out. By that time I was yelling, and the people came out on their porches. And they wanted to see who was going to win. So I said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. You shoot all your stuff. You do all your dances and light all your candles. And I'm just going to call upon the fire of the Most High to kill you in this street right now. She began to weep. She said this, Glenn, you know your God has more power than anything that I have. We just broke the back of that right now. And she began to cry. I walked over to Rosie and put my arm around her and said, Rosie, don't you think it's time for you to give your heart to Jesus? Right out here in front of God and everybody. And Rosie the witch bowed her head that day and gave her heart to Jesus. She comes to the church. Still to this day. We changed her name. We ain't going to be rough like God was. You know, way later on, it said it was Rahab the harlot. Her whole life. We changed. So the Bible said we gave her a new name. Amen? We just called her Rosie. Amen?
Yeah.
Isn't that a good story?
Yeah.
It's still the same power. So there's, I'm going to shift this now just a little bit. I want you to leave here with the knowledge that you can do it. Now, you need to step out by faith in His Word and begin to do it. Hello? I'm going to ask you to do three things. One, I want you to cast out devils. You can practice in your family or at church. Lay hands on the sick. You can practice with your family or at church. Amen. Preach the gospel that people will get saved. You can start with whoever you want. Amen. Isn't this liberating?
Yeah.
This is about the kingdom. My great desire is not that I lead people to Jesus, but to hear back from Graham. We've seen 50 salvations. We've seen 60 or 70 deliverances and 100 healings. That would not only please me, but I think it would please the Father.
Yeah.
And liberate you to know who you are.
Yeah.
There's an old song. I don't know if they sing it here. It's a more of a black song. I know who I am. Yeah, it says, I know who I am. I am yours. I am yours. We need to know who we are. Not just here at the doors. Got it? Amen. So what we're going to do tonight, just a little practical thing. Is it okay? Just a little practical. Graham's so good. He just said, I can do whatever I want. Most people would never do that. We're going to take a little time. And we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come. And if you're here tonight, and I ran through places of hindrance, didn't I?
Two of
them. Maybe. I mean, I went on and preached and forgot them. But in there, I want you to begin to see that God has spoke to many of you. When I ran through generational sin, child abuse, anger. Number, the third stage would be anger, bitterness, rage, rejection. That's a big one. Rebellion. I know you find this hard to believe, but I went through a deliverance, and I had rebellion in my heart. I know you see me as a perfect man, but I just let you know. Number four, sexual sin. I know UK doesn't have hardly any of it, but just in case, number four. Number five, curses in the spirit world. Number six, occult practices. And so, you know what? We got these. And if you're here and you say, you know what? There's been just stuff holding me back. You know.
Can I ask you something?
Oh, I love it.
If you suspect you've got a demon, can you say to your own demon, come on, get out in the name of Jesus?
That is a great possibility. It could, but it's like the next time you need surgery, just go to the store and get you a knife. It just makes it easier. I do think a person could do it, but see, the problem is we're doubt and all these things, but somebody else, it's like somebody else can watch them, because it's just a big deal, it is. And so, but that is a great question. I thank you.
Yeah, but then of course, you don't see yourself. I mean, you see yourself through rose-colored spectacles.
Yes.
So you're not really seeing truth.
Yeah, but usually, we're just going to pray right now and ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate you. If you'd ask God right now, because actually what's already happened, he's something. The minute I started running through that list, he was on some of you like stink on a skunk. You know what I'm talking about? He was right there telling you, this is one. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
He was right there saying, you know you've been stuck. But you know, I'll tell you where I'm at. I'm the same way in the real world. Just the other week before I come, this person alongside the road, and I stopped, and I have a big four-wheel drive Ford pickup, F-150. And I pulled up, had my chain in the back, and I said, can I pull you out? He said, no, I'm just fine. I got back in my vehicle and drove off. My wife says, well, you didn't talk too long to him. I said, he enjoys being stuck. So I drove off. Hello? See, there's people, their pride will let them be stuck. And I'll let them. I won't try to convince somebody. I'll just like for someone who wants to give their heart to Christ, I present a full case. And if they say, well, thank you, maybe some other time, I'm done. I'm done. I microwaved the soil. But I let somebody else come along, maybe a week or two later. You know what I'm saying? Got it? So if you're here today and you say, you know, I've got some problems. I know the Holy Spirit showed me I got some problems. We can just take care of them. I'll tell you how easy it's going to be. It's like plucking cherries off a tree. Low-hanging fruit. Because, see, you're good people. You know, you're not doing a whole bunch of stuff, but somehow, mostly it's when you're a young child. Somebody says something, done something, you get all messed up. Then you just carry it. That's where a lot of it is. Maybe it's child abuse, you know? And so, what we're going to do, we're going to open up a time. Man, has anybody else got a question? That was so good. I don't want to be a... I'm not a preacher. I just want to... Yes?
Does it always work when you pay someone to be, like, released?
That is another excellent question. Probably with other people, besides me, you'd have 100%. Jesus would always do it. I'm not going to tell you it's 100% with me. I'm going to tell you I'm probably running about 85-90% of the time, just in this time here, I prayed for someone, and I'm not sure what happened. But see, just because we didn't see it happen then, I've seen people, I prayed, and I didn't see a whole lot, and the next time I see them, they say, you know, the next day or the next week, it's just the cloud lifted. What happened is I broke the chain, but it took time for them to walk out to victory. But I do want to say this. You were supposed to remind me of this, didn't you? When you get prayed for tonight, you have an obligation then to walk away from where you were chained.
Very good.
You have an obligation to read your Bible. You have an obligation to seek the Lord. You have an obligation. I just put it this way: to get into a life group, to get some people around you that are accountable. Find someone to personal pastor you. So you've got someone to say, how are you doing? That's just a side note. Thank you. A very good question, by the way.
Pastor Hill.
Yes.
Can you get rid of mine?
We'll soon find out. and that's a good one. See, I don't know. But you know what? He came with me in the vehicle. I believe that deliverance is yours. I believe that God wants to set His children free.
Yeah.
Beyond a shadow of a doubt. But I have so much faith, not only in deliverance, but healing. So much faith in it. Because we got this God. I just love Jesus.
Yeah.
And you know what? I am a radical for God. I just love Him so much. I can't get tired of talking about Him. I've seen Him do miracle after miracle after miracle. In fact, last time I just tell him, Greg, we had a little baptism. We have baptism four times a year. If you don't plan baptism, you don't plan to get people saved. Just a thought. And yes, we had 36. And my son, here's a good thing. My son says, we're going to beat you, Dad. We are going to beat you. I said, come on. Because he got to have 37 to beat the old man. That's it. In one quarter. See, but I want you to see, there's many people say, oh, that's about number. No, it's about seeing people saved. I've got 11 grandkids. I'm saying, come on. Produce. I mean, we gotta have more Christians. We gotta have more godly people. Yeah. But we got grandma and grandpas praying for their grandkids. I've already prayed for mine. I got little Isaac. I just prayed. You know, he's gonna be a little pastor, so I prayed. I said, oh Lord Jesus, put just increase the pastor's anointing on his life. You know. I got another little son, grandson, just like me. Glory to God. So let him cast out devils in Jesus' name. Let him be oblivious to anything except the power of God. I got a little granddaughter named Sarah, and she's just so smart. I said, oh God, let her be a doctor, and let her lead other doctors to Christ. That's how we do it. That's how we do it. I'm preaching to you. I'm sorry. But I just want you to get a clear picture. We need grandma and grandpas engaged. We need moms and dads engaged. You're not finished till you're dead. Amen. Not finished. I'm not finished. Glory to God. I'm telling you what. We live in the greatest time in history. You know what makes me so excited? If there'd be a whole bunch of Christians in this nation, a whole bunch of Christians in the United States, by the way, we're down to about 49%. Just a thought. We're going down and going up. But what excites me? The other day, I had to get into my house and I couldn't see. And I have a little pen. It's a little pen light that's hooked to my keychain. You can't even see it in the daylight. But you know what I did? I turned that thing on. See, I'm real spiritual. I get something out of anything. And, oh! It just hit me. The Lord said, that's you, Glenn. That's why I got you. in these dark days. You're a little light. But the darker it is, they'll be able to see. Amen?
Yeah.
Didn't that give you hope?
Yeah.
How many of you are small light? Come on, I'm a small light. It's dark out. You need me, amen, and they need you.